This episode is brought to you by the awesome folks who support me on Patreon. A big shout out to my multi-tier supporters, Taryn C, St. Peaches, Earl B, and Christina N. Moving on to the Tao tier, I want to express my gratitude to Bonkers and Carlu C. And last but not least, a massive thank you goes out to the incredible supporters of the Anito tier. Viren A, Jordan, Roman J, Philip, Mona, and Luna, Hannah, Diwatahan, and Rizzo. To all my wonderful supporters, thank you from the bottom of my heart for making this podcast happen. And if you, my dear listeners, if you want to help support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod and choose the tier that fits your interest. Your support means the world to me and I can't wait to have you on board. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I am your host, Ethan. Hi, and thanks for joining me today. So last week, I talked about Mount San Cristobal, also known as the Devil's Mountain in Laguna, for this spooky Saturday. And one of my wonderful patrons, Mona, hi Mona, commented that they can attest that Mount San Cristobal is indeed creepy or has a creepy vibe. According to her, it seemed like something in the trees were following them, signaling each other through hoots. She also alleged to have experienced paranormal activity at the campsite at the peak where they heard marching boots at midnight. And apparently, there's a whole lot more, but overall, she does agree that the mountain exudes negative energy. So thank you so very much, Mona, for sharing your experience with us. I really appreciate it. If you have any stories related to the topics I've discussed that you'd like to share, please don't hesitate to send us a message. We'd love to include your stories in our upcoming episodes. So, I hope everyone is doing fine, and with that said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Babies, those innocent bundles of joy which evoke feelings of tenderness and hope in almost anyone who sees them. It's so easy to get caught by their cuteness, soft coos, tiny fingers, and curious gazes that seem to embody the purest form of humanity. Yet legends from around the world whisper of darker side, a supernatural entity that preys on our deepest fears, disguising itself as a child. In Filipino folklore, this entity is known as the Chanak. Imagine this. It's summer, and you've decided to spend your vacation in the countryside with your grandparents. The simplicity of rural life is what draws you there. It's slow, relaxing, a stark contrast to the hustle and bustle of city living. One sunny afternoon, you decide to venture into the woods behind your grandparents' house. You inform them of your plans and head out, capturing the lush beauty of the forest in photos. You're so captivated by nature that you lose track of time. And suddenly, you realize it's getting late. It's time to head back. Fortunately for you, you know the path well. With your trusty phone flashlight in hand, you start your journey home, the chorus of cicadas filling your ears. Then, out of nowhere, you hear crying in the distance. Is that a child? Who would leave a child alone in the middle of the woods? Your compassionate instinct compels you to follow the sound, hoping to assist the helpless child. The cries grow louder as you get closer, and just a few steps off your path, behind some bushes, you discover a naked baby wailing. Your heart aches at the sight of the infant in distress, and like any kind-hearted person, you pick up the baby and try to comfort it. However, what you fail to realize is that as you carry the child, it slowly transforms into something sinister. The once plump, adorable baby face contorts into wrinkled, aged skin, sharp claws, and menacing teeth, and it launches a vicious attack on you. What you've just heard is a commonly shared tale in rural communities about the Chanak, a well-known creature in Philippine mythology. The Chanak is infamous for its mischievous nature, often luring travelers off their path, like the story I shared earlier. In some instances, it's even said to abduct children. At times, it plays tricks on children with distinctive or unique names, though I'm not quite sure what names are unique to them. There are also accounts suggesting that its cries are specifically aimed at childless couples. An eerie legend narrates how a couple hearing a baby's cries in the woods adopted what they believed was an abandoned infant. And once adopted, the seemingly innocent baby reveals its true nature by attacking its adoptive parents and drinking their blood. It turns out that the adopted child was a Chanak in disguise. How do they do this though? Well, from the most common info I could find, once a Chanak spots a potential victim, it would usually mimic a crying baby to lure unwary travelers to its location, while others say that it mimics a bird's call, not a crying baby. Overall, once picked up by an unfortunate passerby, it reverts to its true form and attacks the victim. And what is the Chanak's real form? Legends say they are often assumed to resemble a toddler or a baby. However, there are diverse descriptions of its true appearance beyond its widely recognized baby-like form. For example, Chanak, according to the book of Mr. Maximo Ramos titled Creatures of Philippine Lower Mythology, describes the Chanak as looking like a naked newborn baby. Unlike the description I grew up with where it's just a newborn baby with sharp teeth and sharp claws, in Mr. Ramos's book, it is said to have long ears, grasshopper legs, and goat-like hooves, almost satyr-like. It had a flat nose, its eyes were the size of a peseta coin, and its right leg was much shorter than the other, so the creature had to move around by leaps. They don't crawl, they don't walk, they leap. In one version, the Chanak maintains the appearance of a baby but then transforms and forms sharp claws and fangs to attack its unsuspecting victim. In another eerie tale, it's said to supernaturally glide through the forest, still resembling a baby. In a legend on the island of Mindoro, it takes on the form of a black bird before taking flight. So apparently, the Chanak also has the ability to fly. Meanwhile, in central Luzon, particularly in Pampanga, the Chanak are described as tiny, not brown beings that defy gravity, floating in the air. They sport large noses, wide mouths, fierce eyes, and sharp voices. In the Batangas version, the Chanak appears as regular lost babies found in the wilderness. Believed to be infants who died nameless or through abortion, they carry an eerie characteristic. When their cries are soft, they are actually close. But if they sound loud, they are actually distant or far away. Which pretty much reminds me of the characteristics of an aswang. Moreover, in the book Creatures of Philippine Lower Mythology, Mr. Ramos classified the Chanak under a unique Philippine dwarf or the dwarf category. To be honest, this initially confused me because when I hear the word dwarf, I typically picture a very short old man, not a creature that takes on the form of a baby. Now, dwarves in the book are described as spirits of the field, spirit of the hills, and people of the ground. And where do you usually find the Chanak when they assume the form of a baby? That's right, on the ground. They aren't tied to any specific house or tree, they are mostly down on the ground. So maybe that's why they are under that category, because they are also rumored to live underground just like the duendes. Now, I don't think that this is the sole reason why the Chanak was under that category. I think it's also rooted in other characteristics and behaviors of Philippine dwarves. For example, the Chanak's sly strategy of imitating bird calls or crying babies to lure unsuspecting victims sort of aligns with the mischievous and cunning traits often associated with dwarves in folklore. Now, this is just my opinion, but maybe this could be one of the explanations, and it kind of makes sense, or it is understandable in this context, that the Chanak is under the dwarf category. Now, while the Tiyanak in Mr. Maximo Ramos's book is classified as a dwarf, in the book Mga Nilalang Nakagilas-gilas by Mr. Edgar Samar, the Tiyanak is categorized as Laman Lupa. The Laman Lupa in the book are described to be creatures that reside beneath the earth or underground in mounds or trees like banyan or baleti trees. They are believed to be the souls of unbaptized children. While various legends have slightly different versions of the Tiyanak, the stories all agree on its ability to imitate the form of an infant and able to imitate an infant's cries for luring its victims. But have you ever wondered where did this come from? Surely this creature didn't just abruptly pop out of nowhere, right? Well, there are various stories regarding the origins of Tiyanaks. Among these, the Mandaya people of Mindanao recount that a Tiyanak is the spirit of a child whose mother tragically passed away before giving birth. This unfortunate circumstance led to the child being born in the ground, thus shaping its current supernatural form. In Malay folklore, a similar spectral being known as the Pontianak emerges from the story of a woman who died while pregnant. During the Spanish colonization of the Philippines in the 16th century, the Tiyanak myth underwent an amalgamation with Catholicism. In this Catholic interpretation, the Tiyanak was believed to be the souls of infants who had perished prior to receiving baptism. In contemporary Philippines, this definition has expanded to include aborted fetuses returning from death, seeking retribution against those who denied them life. It's also suggested that Tiyanaks are unable to transition to the afterlife because they lack a name, making them earthbound entities that roam in search of someone who can provide them with names. Meaning that the version that I grew up with about Tiyanaks being the results of a vengeful aborted fetuses seeking revenge was in fact a Catholic version. Now, local beliefs suggest various countermeasures to protect oneself from the Tiyanak. It is said that those who have been lured by the creature's cries can break its enchantment by simply turning their clothes inside out. This unconventional act is believed to amuse the Tiyanak enough to release the traveler and they would retreat into the jungles. Additionally, creating loud noises, such as during a New Year's celebration, is thought to drive the Tiyanak away from the vicinity. Common objects believed to repel aswang, such as garlic and the rosary, are also considered effective safeguards against Tiyanak. There is also a belief that giving a name to these lost souls can bring them peace, and offering a white candle can guide their spirits to the afterlife. So, when you're out in the woods, be cautious and fight the urge to investigate eerie crying voices. Otherwise, you might unexpectedly find yourself at the mercy of the dreadful Tiyanak. And that concludes the 7th episode of the podcast about the creepy Tiyanak. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. If you liked this episode and you want to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it in social media, or leave a rating and review. Or you can always become a Patreon member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Or you can always donate via PayMaya. The info will be posted in the description. Once again, thank you so much to my patrons and to you, my dear listeners. Thank you for continuously supporting the podcast and making it a part of your week. Please stay safe. This has been Ethan and thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!